Welcome to Solar Wake Up Intersolar Edition. I'm your host, Frank Andorka. Right now we're talking with John Barekas, the Senior Vice President of Finance for Boviet Solar, and we're here to talk to him about financing in the solar industry. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Everybody talks about bankability in the solar industry. I have been talking about it for years, but nobody really has been able to give a good definition of what that is. So from Boviet Solar's perspective, what does that mean?
So bankability is really a term used by the finance industry to understand that what we're going to finance is going to pay dividends or pay a return. It's really an investment kind of analogy. If straight layman's terms, right? If I'm gonna borrow X amount of dollars at X amount of interest rate, I have to have a value of what I'm buying over time. And so it's very, let's look at a mortgage, right? You're going to buy a house. You're going to want it to be valued at X amount when you're said and done, right? You don't want it to be upside down, underwater, like a lot of people were. So is it a bankable product? Is that home bankable? So, again, is the solar project bankable? We know that we're going to buy a project or it's going to cost X amount of dollars to build it. And through that, whether it be a PPA or a lease, someone's going to pay us a flat rate or an escalated rate over time, and we need to make sure that we're going to have a return on our investment that's acceptable to us or our investors.
From the solar industry's perspective, what are some of the elements that go into making a project bankable?
So I would say one of the biggest elements is the offtake, right? Who is going to own that project or who is going to be paying for that project? So, you know, let's take a look at maybe a gas station, right? They might be turning a lot of money, but maybe it's a cash business. They don't show money on the books. Based on what the fuel market's going to be, it's very volatile, right? So they can be here today, and maybe in 5 years they're not. So really having an off-taker that's strong is a very key play in bankability. If we look at, you know, signing a PPA with a utility, we know that that's typically bankable. They're not going anywhere, right? They're going to have good returns. We know they've been in business for a long time, and they're going to be there for a long time.
How surprised were you that the ITC passed this particular Congress?
You know, I really wasn't surprised, because if you look at the market, it's very young, and ultimately we're not at a position yet where solar is kind of, it's a mismatched asset class. Solar is not taken as a commodity yet where it should be in an energy portfolio, and so you need the ITC. But at the same instance, I was kind of disappointed, because I think it holds us back. If you look at European markets and the UK, you're going to see the same thing happen there, that ultimately the government does not have the money to fund solar. And so we need to make solar fundable by itself, bringing the cost down, making sure we're at grid parity, and ultimately offering finance that's capable of giving a return, whether that's 20, 25, or 30 years, on an energy class such as solar.
But the ITC is only 5 years, and then it steps down on those 2 years, and after 7 years, it's gone completely. So although I understand what you're saying about that being disappointing, eventually it will go away, and that just buys us... Well, how do you feel about the fact that it buys us a little more time to figure out how to do it unsubsidized? Because I think we will get there.
I look at it as a way, yes, we're going to get there, but you know, look at it as a recession. If we're in a cup recession, right, it takes a long time to get out of that. It takes a long time to recuperate, right? It takes, you know, we hold ourselves back. If we're in a V recession, it's very bad, but you recover very quickly, and right, the economy recovers, and actually sometimes you're at a better position than you were a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. And so it's very similar to the ITC in my eyes. If we take the ITC away, then it becomes a product of making us use financing to make solar bankable. The ITC is kind of a band-aid, right, to let us be able to do projects and continue to fund those where maybe those projects shouldn't have been funded, and there's money being used on projects that necessarily might not or should not go through, and projects that should were not funded.
How is that affecting the market this year and moving into next year? Because I know what I have heard is that there were a lot of projects that were financed with the expectation that on December 31st the ITC would go away, And so you've got this huge investment this year, and that next year's going to take a hit because the ITC passed. So all those, that backlog of projects that was expected to sustain through 2017 is now all, it's all packed in 2016. How do you see that moving forward?
I mean, you saw that a lot in the commercial space and in the utility space more than anything, right? Utility projects, large-scale projects really need the ITC to pencil out. And so you saw a big push to get those done. Those are still going to go forward, but now that ultimately this extension is there, they're just not going to get built for a while. So it's a look at a typical California market, right? Projects that we looked at are typically being built 3 years after inception. And so that's really what's going to happen. You have projects that are on the books now that kind of have rushed that. The ITC got extended. And so now those projects are just going to take a longer development time, knowing that they have time to play with, and then they'll eventually get built. But not necessarily are they going to be built for 2017.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, where we get about, I'd say on average, 3 days of sun a year. How do we get solar to spread beyond markets like California, like Arizona, New Jersey? How do you get it to spread beyond those states into states, Midwestern states, for example, where it is a little more difficult to harvest that sunlight and turn it into electricity?
Sure. I mean, you know, we're doing projects in the Midwest right now. And so I think the big answer is, as we see net metering go away, you're going to look at storage, right? Storage is an end-all, be-all solution, I think, right? You know, people look at storage as the holy grail anyway. And so as we start looking at efficiencies, you know, for Beauviat, we're making modules that have much, much higher efficiencies. We're packing 350 watts into 72 cells. You know, our technology is going to take us to a 400-watt module. And so now as that yield is lower, maybe it's a 1-to-1 or 1-to-2 yield, we can still get enough yield out of a larger module and then start adding in a storage component that really then at that point makes sense, even in environments like Minnesota, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, where you're getting a lot of snowfall, you're not getting a lot of sunshine. It still makes sense at that point because we will be below grid parity to coal and oil at $80 a megawatt.
In your opinion, is community solar a way of meeting some of those needs for people like me and others who live in cloudy climes? Do you see that as a possibility?
Yeah, listen, absolutely. I think community solar is, I mean, you have that going on now, right? You have it. It's a very spot market, right? But community solar is really something that I think is going to drive solar 7 years from now, right? You know, if we look at, I don't recall the exact numbers, but they say there's enough sunshine in one day, you know, that if we had solar across everywhere, we can power the world in one day of sunshine. So you start looking at how do we create energy mix and yet hide it in urban areas if it's not on houses. And it's going to be community solar projects. It's going to be, you know, 5-megawatt parcels that are in retention ponds, that are in areas that, are typically non-growth areas that we can then spread that out to communities and developments.
You were talking about net metering, and I know there are these battles between solar and utilities in many states because utilities worry about how solar is going to impinge on their profits. Do you see community solar as a potential bridge for that?
You're going to see utilities start coming into play, and the reason I say is, right, the scale is going to start tipping, and right, and so it's almost to the point where utilities will need to start being involved heavily, or they're going to cannibalize their own industry. And so when you start seeing that, then you're going to start seeing community solar, I think, pick up. You're going to start seeing systems that we're already doing where the utility is putting solar on people's home, and they're able to buy at a discounted rate over time. You're going to start seeing the utilities come together with communities to understand and solve those problems, because ultimately, if they don't, then again, utilities will cannibalize themselves, and obviously it's not going to be good for a utility.
Well, John, you've answered all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I let you go?
You know, I just want to say that, you know, Beauviat Solar is very heavily into the finance side of the game, and you know, we look at our technology and try to understand how we can bring finance, technology, and structure into solar to ultimately create longevity into the systems and into the future. And so one of the things that we look at Boviat doing that other companies are not doing is again, being an integral part of not only selling modules, but funding those projects and staying and being a stakeholder within those projects for long term. You know, we want to be here. We think that the future in the U.S. is a very big market. And so, you know, Boviat is here to stay, and ultimately, hopefully, we'll start, you know, getting involved in a lot more funding opportunities.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate your time.
This has been Frank Andorka for Solar Wake Up InterSolar Edition, talking with John Barekas of Boviat Solar.